You know, it's really amazing what the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ has accomplished. And you're going to see it in the three main elements of our service today. In communion, what we just celebrated together, where believers in Jesus Christ are called to remember that Jesus died, that his body was broken for us and his blood was shed for us. And that is a regular remembrance that we do together as the body of Christ. It's what marks us out as different in many ways from the world, because we are focused on Jesus Christ crucified and all of that accomplished for us in salvation. Another great event that we can watch together as a church is baptism. And that is rooted in the death of Jesus Christ as well for us. And then we're also going to talk about church membership. And one of the other main things that Christ's death on the cross accomplished was taking believers and not just saving them individually, but his death then unites them into a body. Now, you don't have to go through our formal membership process to be in that body. The thief on the cross was in that body. But we like to be able to formalize the ways that we can our membership, and so you're going to get to see how the death of Christ applies itself in many ways to our body as we are here together. So what I want to do is I want to take a brief moment and talk to you about what baptism is and what it is not. And I want to start with just the word baptize or baptism. Long ago in the non-Jewish world, and even in the non-Christian Greek world, they used the word all the time. It was used to describe taking a cloth and dipping it into dye. You would dip it all the way into the dye and bring it out. It was also used, the word, to describe someone drowning in water. It was also used to describe the sinking of a ship. That's not a boring word, baptism. There's a lot of imagery and picture that comes to mind when you think of that word. In the Old Testament, then, the Jews used the word metaphorically for destruction, of being overwhelmed, overtaken by an enemy. And then the word was also used to describe what a Gentile did in water when he converted from his idolatry, from his pantheistic life, to live for the one true God of Israel. He was baptized. That is a radical change of life for a Gentile. That great change of life required an interaction with water that best portrayed outwardly the radical change that had taken place inwardly. Completely under the water, completely coming out. Then when you move into the New Testament and you think about John the Baptist, he is calling Jews to that proselyte baptism, that Gentile baptism. He's calling Jews to it. And I'm emphasizing that, obviously, and you maybe think, big deal, fine, thank you. Do you know what that means? That means that a Jew who followed the one true God, who was raised in a whole nation of people who believed there was only one true God, the Jew confessed publicly that I have spiritually lived as if I was a Gentile, as if I didn't even have this God of my nation. I will leave behind all that I was living for before, and I will live for God and Messiah who is about to come, because John is saying he's about to come. That is radical. And that required, for those who repented, an interaction with water that best portrayed outwardly, again, that inward radical change of mind, which is repentance. Completely overwhelmed by water, completely coming out of the water. Where was John the Baptist baptizing? In the River Jordan. It had to be in a river. It's the only place you could find enough water to picture that radical change. Well, Jesus then picks up the same meaning, and he doesn't even alter it in the slightest. When anyone becomes a follower of Jesus, Jesus commanded in the Great Commission an interaction with water that helps express outwardly, again, the radical change that had just come to the disciples' life. And it would take place in a public setting. They needed to be completely submerged in water, like a drowning man, like a sunk ship. And then they need to come out completely. So the meaning of the word baptize is just to immerse. It is to be overcome by water. It is to be submerged. It is to be plunged under. And this is what God wants to publicly communicate through water baptism. Okay? Each of these today who is getting baptized has already become overwhelmed by the saving work of Jesus Christ inwardly in their lives. And they have stepped out into the world as a new creature in Christ. Today, they will come into contact with water in such a way so that it will help express outwardly the radical change that has already taken place within. Do you understand this? In fact, turn to Romans 6 for a moment. I want to show you a little bit more of that radical change. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. And this will help us better understand the radical change that has come. I'll read the verses to us. Or do you not know, Paul says, that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. What does going under the water portray to each one of us who are watching this morning? Well, that something radical has taken place. In fact, a death has taken place. These here who have trusted in Christ have been buried with Christ, Paul says in Romans 6:3. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? God has already brought about in each one of these a powerful death, a spiritual death. And primarily in this chapter in Romans 6, they are dead to sin now. They are dead to sin. They're dead to its power to enslave them anymore, according to Paul. So being submerged under the water, being immersed, portrays that they have already died to the kind of sinful living that they once had without the Lord Jesus in their lives. So then what does coming up out of the water portray? Well, another radical event has taken place in them. They have been raised up to walk in newness of life. Look at verse 4 again. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death for this purpose. A death had to come so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We are raised up to walk in a brand new life. God has accomplished in these today who are being baptized a new way of living in Jesus Christ, for Jesus Christ, under Jesus Christ. And he did that by uniting them to Christ in his resurrection from the dead. So coming out of the water reveals that they are no longer dead before God. They're no longer dead in their sin. They're no longer enslaved to sin. But now they are alive to God through Jesus Christ. And they actually now have a whole new set of desires to actually live for him when they once hated him, didn't love him at all. So each today is proclaiming to you through their words that this death, this separation from their sin has already been accomplished in them by God and that they have begun a new life in Christ. Listen, baptism is not a work that each of these does with the hope that God will respond and save them. It's not that at all. In fact, it's just the opposite. It is an outward testimony that God has already worked in their life and they now are responding to God by showing it publicly. For each of these today being baptized in water is simply an outward demonstration to you of the already accomplished saving work of God within them. And they just get to boast in their Savior before all of us. And I know that those of you who are in Christ are only going to enjoy their boasting. So